the keys to the kingdom and remind them of this. That I'm pleased with my church, but I'm not pleased with the sin that's still in the earth. And that is the purpose that I came, to bring mankind back to relationship with God the Father. And I'm coming again, but before I come, my church is going to rise and shine and show forth the love that I showed when I was here on this earth, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, this is your church. This is your people. And I thank you for speaking and ministering life to your people. Lord, you don't bring condemnation. You bring life. You bring life. You have brought life to this earth. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. See, this is not, the church is not a one-man show. Jesus wasn't a one-man show. He humbled himself and became a servant, washed his disciples' feet, blessed them. But he called, he needed some help. When he got here, he said, help. When it was time for him to go into the ministry and he was baptized in the Jordan, what did he do? He went and showed the devil he was here and took authority over him. First thing, he took care of the devil because he was led by the Spirit. But then he started looking for help. He started looking for some help because you know what? He had a work to do. And he still has a work to do, and he's given that work to the church. And it's a good work. Sometimes it has its ups and its downs, but guess what? He's there to make the ups and the downs, those high places and low places, he makes them straight at the cross. Amen. Don't go through the valley. Get into him. He's already been through the valley. Amen. He's been through the valley. He sat in that valley of the shadow of death. He was separated from his Father in hell so we wouldn't have to be separated. Now he said, get up and walk in me. Walk in me. Walk in his anointing. Walk in his joy. Walk in his healing that he provided for us. Amen. Amen. And tell the devil where he needs to be. Behind you. Behind me all the time, all the days of my life. Hallelujah. What's behind the Christian? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. That's what should be following the Christian, not the devil. Right. Amen? Amen? Goodness and mercy. If that's behind you, what's in front of you? We're following Christ, right? We are his bride. He is the bridegroom. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So you're white. You're dressed in white. White means, represents purity. Your sins are forgiven. Purity. All forgiven. Okay, I better get started if I want. I want to quickly just go through. We're starting in the book of Luke, and that's where I've been keeping us for these 2 weeks. So if you want to go ahead and flip over to the book of Luke. And I'm going to briefly summarize and go through the notes, not through each verse, but through the notes that I had last Sunday. And if you need a CD, I always request. I might not be able to get you one today, but I'll do my best, but we can get you one. And if you missed it. But Luke chapter 2, or actually just go to Luke 1. We'll get to chapter 2. But I'm going to, this is The Word Became Flesh by Dr. Luke. So I'm going to take you through Luke. We're going to get to Luke 1:41 is our goal, and then we're going to start from there. But I'm going to, Kelsey's going to have it on the screen, but I just want to give you a kind of a background of where and what was happening here before Christ was born. Luke 1:1, many people had attempted to arrange an orderly fashion of the Lord's teachings. These eyewitnesses had been faithful in preserving what they had witnessed, but Luke was not concerned so much with the religious theory. He wanted to tell the good news of the gospel, of what his eyes have seen, of what his hands have touched. He put some life into something. I'm not saying they didn't have some, but he added a little bit of to it. Amen? He said, most Theopolis, I have something I want to tell you. Luke 1:3 says, the identity of Theopolis is unknown. Although this address shows that he was a person of high rank, guess what? There's somebody higher. His name is Jesus. And he wants to touch those in high positions. Amen? Because he wants those under him to be blessed. His name means, Theopolis, a friend of God. So as he was ministering, Luke was ministering to him, God wants you to know, no matter if you're in a high-ranking position or a low-ranking, we're all level to cross. You are a friend of God, and you have a place in his family, in his home, in his heart. Luke 1:5, Herod referred to here was Herod the Great. He had the title King of Judea conferred on him in 37 B.C. by the Roman Senate. Herod the Great was the one who slaughtered the infants in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and under. I don't know the population there, but one or two is not pleasing. But there was a lot more than that that were slaughtered by King Herod. Luke 1:7 tells us, the Jews considered if you had children, talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth here, the Jews considered if you had children, that was pleasing to God. That's true. But if you were barren, then you were not pleasing to God. That's false. Because Luke 1:7 tells us that Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous. They were righteous. In other words, they had right standing with God. So she was not barren because God was not displeased with her. He wasn't bringing this curse on her. He was pleased because they were still doing the right thing, even though they wasn't receiving stuff here on the earth that they knew they should have. He still considered them righteous and holy and blameless before him. Luke 1:9, in other words, I don't care what tradition has taught you, what has God taught you? What is he saying to you? What has he given you? This is our foundation that we lay it on, Christ Jesus. Amen? Them traditions of men are going to give you nothing. I've been there. We've all been there. We've all heard things that are, like Terry mentioned, is that even in the Bible? That's a good question. If you can't find it in the Bible, don't live it. Don't bring it into your home. Amen? This is what we need to bring in. Luke 1:9, a priest could have the privilege of burning incense in the holy place only once during his lifetime. This is Zacharias. This was an honor, but he had did this. He had been in his priesthood as his custom was all his time. He was serving the Lord. But this only one time, only once could you have the opportunity of burning incense. Are you in church that Sunday? See, sometimes we miss a church service. Man, what did we miss? What if Zacharias hadn't have felt like going to church that day? He called in his cousin. Brother, can you stand in for me? I just ain't feeling good. Look, he would have missed this great blessing that we hear. Yes. Luke 1:13. Talking about the Word becoming flesh. The name John, pertaining to John the Baptist, means the Lord has shown favor. Thus, the purpose of his birth was to herald the arrival of the Messiah, the gift of God's grace to mankind, to me and you. Luke 1:19, Gabriel showed up to Zacharias. His name means mighty man of God. He's not a man, but he appears to us in a form of a man, but he is an angelic being. He is one of the seven of the high-ranking angels that stand in the presence of God. He's important. Very important person. Angel, angelic being. He foretold the Messiah's coming in Daniel 9:25, and according to traditional interpretation, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, he will sound the trumpet for the Messiah's return. Hallelujah. He's got an important, I don't even want to call it a job. He's got an important purpose that he fulfills in the presence of God, Jehovah. Hallelujah. Luke 1:27, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is a pivotal truth on which the whole claim to deity hinges. God was his father, physically and spiritually. Jesus had the eternal life of God flowing through his veins. No sin, no corruption. Mary simply supplied the body for the deity to inhabit, becoming incarnate in this earth. Jesus was as and is God manifest in the flesh. That's what that's the pivotal point for Christianity. That's what sets us apart. We have a risen Savior. He is not in the grave. And he came back and he showed himself openly before he ascended on to heaven on high. Amen. And he did it legally. He came to this earth legally in the woman, in the womb of Mary. He had her permission. So the devil, he don't do that. He don't ask for your permission. He just wants to come in into your life and bring destruction. He wants to come into their life and make you barren. make Elizabeth barren. But when God comes in, when Zechariah came in, and when they believed and confessed, she conceived. When the angel of the Lord brought what God said you are going to be, you're going to be fruitful. What I called you to be. I've called Elizabeth for you to be fruitful. She conceived. But it was through her, through Zacharias, not through the Holy Spirit, that they conceived John. That's the difference between the virgin birth and her and Mary. Luke 1:28 tells us that Mary was surely blessed among women to be chosen to be the mother of Jesus. But God is also no respecter of persons. Don't think Mary, don't put her in no higher class than what you are. Amen. God can do the same thing through you, not through a virgin birth. There's only going to be one. But to be highly favored and blessed, that's your part of the kingdom of God. That's what we've been talking about this morning. Amen. The blessing of the Lord. However, Mary was a sinner herself and needed a Savior, according to Romans 3:23. Jesus was deity, even though he was born of a woman who was not deity. She was a sinner. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've been born into sin, but then we've been born again if you're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God, Jesus didn't leave us there because God himself was Jesus' Father. When a woman stood among the multitude and began to bless Mary, Jesus said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God." See, he didn't put Mary up on this pedestal. He put God, his Father, on that pedestal. The Word of God. But Jesus said, "Blessed if you hear the Word of God, not only hear it, but keep it." Luke 11:27-28. "Thereby placing a greater blessing on the followers of Christ than on the mother of Christ." See, he honored his mother, but he also honored his Father. And he always has the highest place in our lives. Amen. We got to keep him there. Luke 1:31, as we're coming through the Gospel of Luke, the name Jesus, we all just want to say that name, is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation. Luke 1:34. When the question was asked between Zacharias and the contrast between Mary, the question that she asked Gabriel, here was the contrast. Mary asked a good question. She asked Gabriel for information, not because of unbelief as Zacharias did. If Abraham had asked a similar question, it would have prevented his relationship with Hagar, and we wouldn't have the confusion and the disputing we have upon land right now. Go to God. He has the wisdom that we need. Amen? Amen. And Luke 1:35 is where we finished up last week, that the conception of Jesus took place through the direct action of the Holy Spirit. Overshadowed. That word overshadowed is the same word used for the cloud from which God spoke at the transfiguration on the mount. Both uses of this word refer to the cloud that manifested the glory of God. Jesus is the expressed image of the Father, manifested, and God showed up to confirm it. Amen. On that mountain. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." He said it, and he said it again. He said it at the Jordan, and he said it on the mountain. Amen. And he's still saying it today. He is well pleased in Jesus and the work that he did. And he's also well pleased in you. Because if you believe in Christ, you are of Abraham's seed. Amen? The seed of faith. And all heirs according to that promise are yours and mine. That's the time to shout and say, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Abraham, for having a spirit of faith and not a spirit of fear." All right, we're going to start there and pick up. We're going to Luke 1:41. Luke 1:41. And this is when Mary came and visits Elizabeth. Mary rose in those days, in verse 39, and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe that was in her womb leaped for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I'll tell you right now, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to say something. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. And what did they do? They magnified and they blessed God and praised God. They didn't praise men. They praised God. And there's nothing wrong with being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not bad. It's good. Because you praise God well. And this is what happened here in verse 43. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me, Elizabeth is saying. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for what? For joy. God don't bring sadness. He brings joy. And she said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told of her from the Lord. And this is the whole Mary, when God says you're blessed and you're favored and you're going to conceive in your womb and you're going to have a child, he's going to be called Jesus, the Son of God, and he's going to save his people from his sins. You're like, wow, I believe it, but wow, wow. She needed somebody to stand beside her and help her through this. And she went to her cousin Elizabeth. She was doing the same thing, had an experience with the Holy Ghost. And it felt good. Amen? But the world would not receive this. How am I going to tell my husband? She didn't even tell Joseph. She just left. Left. And so Luke 1:41, since this babe leaped in her womb, it is probable that this was when the prophecy of Luke 1:15 was fulfilled, and that John the Baptist was also filled with the Holy Ghost. Because guess what? If mama gets filled, come on, mama, baby gets filled. Amen. Hallelujah. Because baby's in mama. Baby gets what mama eats. Baby gets what mama drinks. Baby gets what Jesus, what God did. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, you have a purpose before you get filled from God on high. Before you even formed, Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, before you even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Don't let nobody tell you haven't got a purpose and it's a good purpose, because God knew you and he don't make no junk. Amen? He don't make no junk. Although others are spoken of as being separated unto God from their mother's womb in the Bible, Judges 13:5 and Galatians 1:15, John the Baptist was the only one who was filled. Others have been separated. Jeremiah was separated, but John was filled. Filled with the Holy Ghost from his birth. That's important. Amen. It's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this needs to be taught and preached from the pulpit, because there's other people that tell you, you know, that they've got fear and false teachings in there that they think it's a bad thing. God says it's a good thing. Luke 1:44. This was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So we can understand from this scripture that an unborn child has emotions at 6 months, because the baby leaped for joy at the sound. See, babies can hear in the womb. We used to sing to our children before they were born and being formed in the womb. Sing to them. Speak the word to them. Tell them how they're going to be delivered. Mama's not going to have no complications. You're going to come out of here, your body, you're going to react and react the way God created you to. Speaking this. Speaking words of faith is what we did. Me and my wife did. There's your question for abortion. Is it legal? Is it murder? Does this baby have a feeling? Does this baby have a will? Right here tells us this baby, John the Baptist, leaped for joy at the sound of somebody coming out from the outside in. So no, this baby has a right to live. This baby is experiencing joy at 6 months and before. We're just saying right here, 6 months. Amen. There's just some debatable ground right there. All right, Luke 1:45. And these are just some notes that I wanted to give you through the gospel. There's a lot more in here, but we're just going to kind of keep on going through. And when this month is over, we're just going to get started. When we get to heaven, we're just going to get started. Amen. But make a note here from Luke 1:45 of the clear contrast between Mary's faith response to the Word of God and how that Zechariah had a response of unbelief to the Word. Because 45 says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her. See, Mary got a blessing, and she still could hear, and she still could speak. Had Zechariah received this word from God, from Gabriel, he wouldn't have been struck dumb and deaf, because it had to be fulfilled. Jesus had to come. That's, you think, well, why? Yeah, God, the angel did strike him with deafness and dumbness, but it was for our benefit, and it didn't bring harm to him. It brought Jesus, it brought John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, into the earth. Because guess what? God doesn't speak unbelief, he speaks faith. And when he says something, and that angel delivers what he said from heaven, it's got to come to pass. You either got to get in with it or get out of the way. Got to go to the next person and say, say this, believe this, receive this, and do this. Amen? Amen. John showed up. But the Zechariah still got blessed. And see, and that's something as I was reading. The priest, as he went in to offer up incense, he's offering up prayers of incense for the people, for their sins. He's probably praying for Elizabeth. They'd like still like to have kids, but they're well stricken in age, so he's probably done gave up on that prayer. But God never did. See, they gave up, but God never did. God never gives. God hears your prayers. Don't give up on them. And he went in for the people, and when he comes out, when the priest came out, he is supposed to speak a blessing on the people. He heard from God. See, I'm hearing from God today, and I'm speaking, and you're going to be blessed if you receive it. Amen? So they're expecting him to come out and speak a blessing. And they can't find him. He's in there, and they don't know where he's at. He's been there too long. But they're expecting him to come out and speak a blessing. But guess what? He can't hear, and he can't speak. Because if he could have, he would have not spoken a blessing. You understand? That's why he cannot speak or hear, because God would not let him speak unbelief. He had to come out speaking faith like Mary, so that they could be filled with the Spirit and be edified, so somebody could be born into the earth. Amen? So it was important. That's why he couldn't speak, because he would have came out and not have spoke a blessing. God is about speaking life, not death. See, God is there to protect you. Some people don't like you. The devil don't like you. And he's going to use people. And if those people are ungodly people, God will protect you. Amen? And there's judgment there. If that person don't know what they're doing, they can fall into God's judgment. The ungodly, they're still in the old covenant because they don't have a born-again experience. Why am I getting off on this? I guess you need to hear this. God is a daddy God, and he's out to protect his kids. Mama, get mama mad. Somebody start messing with mama's kids, mama gets mad. That's a godly character. Amen? Now, we're not supposed to go out and kill nobody or speak words of death, but God has the same emotions on the inside of him. He don't like evil, and he won't put up with it. He's long-suffering. That means what? There's a short and a long. It comes to a point where long ends. He's long-suffering with you until he's done. Repent. He says, my spirit will not always strive. There's a point to where it stops. Mercy stops. But pray that we don't get that far. Amen? Okay, let's go on a little bit. After this, after Mary received and Elizabeth received this salutation, and when she said this salutation, I'm not sure if I've got there yet. I'm just getting so excited sharing this with you, I think I missed it. But that salutation, and if Terry was up here, I'd just give him a big old hug. I seen Reed going through the congregation this morning for church. He was hugging everybody. He was giving them a salutation. That's what happened here. They hugged each other. What happened? The anointing that was upon Mary, when she greeted, it went into Elizabeth. That anointing flowed, and it filled both of them. Mary was already filled with the Holy Ghost, conceived Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Now Elizabeth, she got filled. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lay hands. There's something about laying hands on believers. You release the power of God, the anointing of God. That's what happened there. That was a church meeting right there, brother. There was some hugging and shouting and feeling and prophesying going on. They were prophesying. That's what the song of Mary was going. I'm not going to sing this song, or you read it, but she sang a song. When the children of Israel went over the Red Sea, God parted it, dried it. They walked across, and he flooded the enemy. They came out singing. They wasn't crying because of their enemy. They'd been in bondage for 440 years. They were singing a song of victory. I ain't a bricklayer no more. I'm going into the work of the army of the Lord. I'm going to take Canaan land, promised land. Hallelujah. They had 40 years of struggle out there, but that day they were singing a song. Miriam was singing a song. She had a, if Daniel had his trumpet, we'd let him play this morning. Daniel, you need to bring that thing. I think this morning we could have blew a trumpet. He said, go get it. Hallelujah. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Zion. So Mary sang a song. It's okay to sing a song unto the Lord. Sing a song in the Spirit. Sing with your understanding. If you can't carry a tune, don't worry about it. Carry it right on up to heaven. Incense. Burn your incense. Bless the Lord with your voice. Mary's song is called the Magnificent. That's what she was singing. The Magnificent of the Lord. It's taken from the song of Hannah in the Old Testament, who had the same experience. She was crying out for God for a child. She had, Elizabeth was happy. Mary was happy because they had received not only God's promise, but a child. They was going to give birth. And a woman, only a woman can experience this, I call it a heavenly experience of giving birth, of knowing they're going to give birth. I experienced it when Kelsey, my firstborn, I wasn't even born again, but I felt like I was in heaven when I knew I was a daddy and this child was up there and it was mine. It was like, it was heaven. I mean, I can't explain it to you. I was not a Christian, but I knew this was from God. It was just a heaven experience. And I was emotionally just, I didn't care about anything. I got a child. So I could just imagine how Sherry felt. Hannah, which also had a miraculous birth. In Jewish prophecy, new messages are often elaborations of former revelations. You'd have to kind of just meditate on that a little bit. Which give new meanings and applications. So see, Elizabeth, they was drawing off of this Old Testament. They knew about Hannah. They'd read about Hannah. Now, guess what? They're having a Hannah experience. Oh, glory. They're having a magnificent experience with the Holy Spirit. And they're trying to understand all this, but their mind can't, but they're having a spiritual experience. So let's read on here a little bit. Let's get to the birth of John the Baptist. We're going to start in verse 57. Now, Elizabeth's time came. Mary had left. She's going home now. She's 3 months pregnant. She's going home to see Joseph, and she's been praying, filled with the Holy Ghost. And she says, Lord, I need that favor you said I got. Because my husband's going to see my belly is not like it used to. And you got to explain all this to him. Guess what? God had been working. God had been giving Joseph some dreams. Some dreams. Amen. Been speaking to him. He wouldn't receive it from Mary, but he received it from an angel through a dream. I think he'd maybe heard about Joseph, the dreamer in the Old Testament. His name's Joseph too. I'm thinking Joseph and Mary here. I know I'm talking about Elizabeth. But Elizabeth came the full time for her son to be delivered in verse 57 here. And she brought forth a son, just like the angel said. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. They wasn't rejoicing while she was carrying this thing, I don't think. But now that the fulfillment has come, and it could have been a boy or a girl to their understanding, but now it's a boy. So now they're rejoicing with her. Don't wait for your relatives and friends to get in agreement with you on a promise God has given you. You rejoice. You find somebody that's going to rejoice with you that believes. Amen. Amen. Not after the fact. That believes before the fact. Because that's a faith fact. Amen. Like Terry said, we're not moved by our emotions, our feelings. We're moved by the Word of God. Keith Moore sings a song, When the Spirit Gets to Moving, Let Him Move. Talking about let the Spirit move. Let Him move. Let Him do His work in the service. Let Him move. Do what He does best. In verse 59, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child John. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias, which was the custom. Verse 60, but his mother, Elizabeth, answered, when your daddy can't speak, mama's got to speak for you. His mother answered and said, no, it's not going to be Zacharias. His name's going to be called John. But they said to her, Here's these people hadn't been in agreement with her. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives called by this name. What makes you think you're going to change tradition? I'm just paraphrasing. So they made signs to his father. Okay, we need to get Zacharias' opinion here. Get some signs. We're going to do something. He's got to understand what his wife's about to do. She's about to change tradition. The fire of God's going to fall. We're going to wipe us all out. Just throwing something in there. This is what they're thinking. So they made signs to Zacharias what he would have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, his name is John. Praise God. Mom and daddy's in agreement. Zacharias learned. So it took him 9 months thinking about this. From the time he got struck dumb and deaf. He'd been thinking about this. Man, why didn't I listen to Gabriel? Why didn't I say what he said? This is important. And you know what he did? He probably got into Word. He probably just studied himself to show himself approved. He got back into Word and started probably looking up prophecies. And when they brought that, and they said they marveled. How does this man, he hadn't been able to speak and talk, know what his wife was saying? The same name. How can he know this? They marveled. And immediately, just then, God loosed his mouth and his ears. It was loosed, and he spoke praising God. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And fear came all who dwelt around them, and all the sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept in their hearts saying, what kind of child is this going to be? Man, they just seen a miracle happen here. Seen some strange things happening in these last 9 months. I just wonder, mom and daddy's acting weird. How's this child going to be? I'm talking about a good weird. Man, there's some things happening here that just can't be explained with the natural mind. It's called God encounters. Amen. Jehovah's showing up. All male babies were named, Luke 1:59, all male babies were named on the eighth day. Number eight means a new beginning. A new beginning. So there's a new covenant coming into this earth. It takes two people witnessing what God has said to make it happen. Confirm the word. John and Jesus had to be in total agreement with what God was doing. New beginnings, at which time they were also circumcised. The blood had to flow. And now we're in covenant with God. That's what John, this baby, represented. Now he's in covenant with God. Ordinarily, the child would be named after his father. That's why they couldn't understand the breaking tradition. Yep, Jesus came and broke traditions of men and was bringing us back to a relationship with God. From there, after that, Daddy sang a song. Mary was singing a song. Zacharias, he can speak. His ears are opened up. Guess what? If you're in church, if somebody's deaf, they can't hear, hearing opens up, they can sing again, speak again. Guess what? They're going to sing to God. Let them go. Let them sing. But he just didn't sing out of his head. He sang out of his heart, and he sang a song of prophecy. He prophesied what his son, see, God struck him dumb and gave him all, while he was couldn't hear and couldn't speak, he gave him some understanding. This is what your son's going to do. He got into the Word and studied, and when his mouth was opened up, he prophesied what John was going to do. See, God gave him a vision of what John was going to be. He was going to be a forerunner to the Messiah, to turn people from the hearts of their fathers back to God. And when his mouth was loosed, he sang a song. Mark, he was singing a cappella prophecy unto God that they understood marvelous things that John was going to do. And see, the devil don't want you to speak in tongues. He don't want you to pray in the Holy Spirit, because when you do, you pray the perfect prayer unto God, and then you speak, you ask for the interpretation, and then you speak prophecy into the earth that he has no control over. And this is what we got to do over our families and over our nation and over our children. No matter what it looks like they're doing, no matter what they're rebelling, they're doing this, that ain't who they are. That's just things they're in right now. We got to prophesy. We got to speak the Word of God and declare it and sing a song. This is what my family's going to do. This is what my finances are going to do. Amen. We speak to things. We're a peculiar people. We're weird. We sing in the Spirit. We sing with our understanding, and we see things happen. Might not happen the next day, but it's going to happen. We're giving birth. We conceive something. We're going to give birth. Amen. And that would be the only time a premature birth would probably be a good thing sometimes. If it's healing, you don't need to wait to 9 months. You need healed now. Healing is now. If you need something to be healed, sometimes it can be progressive. That's okay. But if you know, God is the healer now. Jesus, when they asked, He healed them now, immediately. Amen. The Word brings things to life. You need a kidney? You need it now. You need it healed now. If you don't have it, you need it now. That's called a miracle. So let's get on and get over here to the second chapter. Zacharias, he prophesied. Now we're going to talk about Jesus being born. That was just John the Baptist. We're going to be able to make it. Is everybody, we okay here for a little bit? I'm about done. I might speed it up a little bit, but it's hard sometimes. Man, Christ, born of Mary. I haven't ever come through the book like this and just, I told Terry, I said, I just want to get up here and just give you what Jesus wants to show you about this time of the season. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Census took place while Quirinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city. Jesus said, submit to your authorities. Do what the authorities say to do. Give to God what is God. To Caesar what is Caesar. Go pay your taxes. Go register. Go vote. Register to vote. Amen. And you can get out there and vote. It changes things. Joseph went down to Galilee, to a city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, King David, which is called Bethlehem. We sung about it this morning. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to register with Mary, his betrothed wife. They were engaged. Things had been prepared and planned out, and they were going to be married. And she was already with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought, and guess what? When it's delivery time, Daddy, Mama says it's time to go, it's time to go. Listen. When she's going to be delivered, it's time. It don't matter if we're here in the barn stable, it's time. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. But there's room for Jesus in my inn. Amen. We got to make room for God. We got to make room for the Lord's work. Luke 2:5, God used an ungodly ruler to draw Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem and fulfill the prophecy of Micah 5:2 and Proverbs 21:1. So, just like Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him, what is truth? What sin have you committed? Tell me who you are. Jesus didn't have to answer to him. He answered to God. If God didn't tell him to say anything, if his father didn't tell him to say anything, he didn't say anything. And that's what's happening here. God can use an ungodly ruler to get you where you need to be. Submit to their authority. Now, you don't submit to evil, but you submit and do what they're telling you to do. If it's not going to go against what the Word of God says, just go pay your taxes. And what it did, it got them to Bethlehem. It got them to the place where Jesus was going to be born. So the Word had to be fulfilled. This is how God used an ungodly ruler to get the Word fulfilled. So don't look to that ungodly ruler. Look to God. Luke 2:8. Did I make it that far? No, I didn't. I stopped at verse 7. So Jesus is born, wrapped in a swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. You mean they wasn't out there paying their taxes? I thought they were supposed to be in the tax line. Well, this was the night, so they might have closed down the shop. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Here's that joy coming back. It started in the womb, now it's in the earth. Hallelujah. I bring you great tidings of joy, which will be to all people, not just Mary now. She's experienced this joy now. She's bringing it to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. And this is from the angels now, who is Christ the Lord. God Almighty, in other words, this is God Almighty in the earth. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with them not one angel, but a multitude of the angels, heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke 2:8, sheep were kept out in the open between March and December. This is how we can kind of look about Christmas time. This is why we celebrate the Lord's birth in December. They say we can't pinpoint it down to a day. We pick through our calendar December 25th, so don't get hung up on all that. Just know that He was born. He was born in the due time that He was delivered. He was born when Mary said, it's time, Joseph. Get me somewhere. Get me off this camel or donkey, and it's time. That was the day. And the angels appeared. The first recorded celebration of Christmas was in Rome, A.D. 354. Luke 2:11 tells us, the Scriptures make it clear that Jesus is our Savior. Period. Jesus, the only way. The only one born of a virgin. They also refer to God as our Savior in 1 Timothy 1, 1-2 and Jude 25. The use of God and Jesus interchangeably as our Savior illustrates the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh, and is another testimony to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a magnificent God who does magnificent things. Luke 2:14, in the highest refers not to the highest degree, but to the highest realm, heaven. Glory to God in the highest. These angels came from heaven, and they're pointing you back to this is where the glory comes from. It comes from heaven on high. That's where Jesus is, and that's our eternal destiny. But not only that, heaven has came down. Heaven came down to the earth that day, that night. Amen? Heaven, let our days be as the days of heaven on earth. Heaven's still here on the earth. Amen? God's kingdom is still here. It's in me and it's in you. We're a part of heaven right now here on this earth to the world. And let's see, I'm in Luke 2:11. That's why I just hit. Luke 2:14. I covered that. Now let's just go on over a little bit further here. That's a good song for Silent Night right there. Silent Night. It wasn't too much of a silent night, though, was it? It was a holy night, but it wasn't silent. They were praising God and singing glory to God. It was a shouting time out there in that desert. That whole desert, that area was lit up with the glory of God. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, wisdom says, let us now go to Bethlehem. They didn't kind of lay down, and I don't even know if they even brought the sheep with them. They just said, let us now go to Bethlehem. Smart. And see this thing which has come to pass. They believed. Believing will get you going. Believing will get you receiving and going somewhere. They believed and said, it has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And what is this doing to Mary? Confirming this prophecy. Building her up. See, God's always about building you up. She's going to need this. She's going to see her son suffer and die. But she needs to know in her heart that this is God's son. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let the meditation of my heart be always unto the Lord. And He'll keep you in perfect peace. That's how she kept the peace, the King of Peace, peace in her heart. And she pondered all this, meditated upon it, and God gave her perfect peace by the Spirit. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told of them. Got a praise going on. And Dr. Luke emphasizes the activity of the Holy Spirit, and the consolation of Israel refers to the comfort the Messiah would bring to His people. I think I might have got you a little premature on that one. That was Luke 2:25 through 27. Yeah, let me come on down here and read. And after the shepherds returned, verse 21, and when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the Christ child, His name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, in verse 22, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It is written in the law. They did everything according to the law. They were blameless before God. This is Mary and Joseph. That every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And after they did this, Simeon, another man of God who had been seeking God and had a promise from God, in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was led by the Spirit into church. The devil's not going to lead you to church. Amen. That is not where he wants you to be. So if you're coming to church, guess what? God is leading you. The Holy Spirit is leading you. That's a good place to be. He was led by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God. Didn't bless Mary. Mary's blessed by God, but he didn't bless Mary. He blessed God and said, according to your word, my eyes have seen your salvation. But that just, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
He has found out the vengeance where the prince of wrath was stored.
He has
His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Hallelujah.
And it's marching on in you. His glory is marching on. Hallelujah. This Simeon got to see this. And he sang a song too. Which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled, confirmation again, at those things which were spoken of him. God is confirming everything that the angel spoke. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, and Mary said, all people will call you blessed. They're starting to bless her. Amen. Starting to bless her. The prophecy is foretold. What God has said for you, God is for you. Remember that. And he's always there to bless you. Keep that in your forethoughts, in your back thoughts, all your thoughts. That's what Simeon was doing. And this child is destined. Now here comes prophecy. All prophecy is not glorious sometimes, but it would fulfill the glory of the Lord. It says, Mary said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now this is the torment that Mary went through when she saw Jesus pierced on that cross. It pierced her soul just like it pierced his side. That sword went right through her soul. But how many prophecies, how many blessings, consolations had she been given that she held on to that? Because she knew that she knew that she knew this is the Savior of the world. It's not just my son, it's God's son. And she hung on to that. Through tears, she hung on to that. And she praised God in her heart, in the midst of her heart, she praised God at his death. Amen. Awesome. Awesome display of how God forewarned her and built her up, knowing that she would be the only woman that that son would suffer like Christ did. But she had the eternal hope of promise of God's word that he would rise again and be the Savior of the whole world. Amen. Commenting on Luke 2:29-32. John 14:26 lets us know that it is always truth, pure and available to all believers. The Word of God. Not everyone will accept the salvation. This is what Simeon was prophesying here. It's going to be signs spoken against. Not everyone will accept the salvation that Jesus offers. Some will instead stumble over Him, which they have and they continue to do. They're walking in darkness and that causes them to stumble because they reject such a great salvation. We try to tell our kids, Dad, we don't understand why people don't believe the way we believe. I said, the Bible tells us, they said they always reject the Holy Spirit. There's the Word of God and there's the Spirit of God and they agree. But they work together, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Some people don't receive that moving and working of the Holy Spirit because to do that, they got to be still and let God work. Jesus is the work of God in the earth, the salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn it, but I can earn it. But it's all I can do to receive it and preach it and release it to others. He does the work. But not everyone will receive that. They think they got to do something. Or be something, or be worthy to receive something. That's not who Christ, that's not, it says, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. As you are, come to Him, just as you are. The opposition to Jesus will reach its climax, and it did at the foot of the cross. That's where His mother Mary would experience the piercing anguish. But that wasn't the end of the story. That was the end of the old covenant. End of that story, but it was just a new beginning. Those new beginnings, it was getting ready to come. And that goes into the resurrection story. We can't get there yet. Amen? But He is the resurrection and the life. So, I believe everybody is here. We're going to finish this PowerPoint, but I want you to all to agree. Because there's some people that's going to hear this message, maybe not in this church, but maybe by the way of internet. There's some people out here that have not received Christ. The gift that God has freely given to all mankind, not just to the Jews, to all mankind. He is the Savior of the world, freely given. And to those, and I believe everybody's here, but the invitation, if you haven't received Christ, today is the day. He has already been born. He has already suffered, died, took our penalty, has offered His blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father on high, saying, come, all ye that are weary, come home. That's still the message of the cross. Come home. So let's agree right now. If there's anybody here in this church or by internet that has not came home to Jesus, don't wait till Christmas Day. Don't wait till 5 minutes from now. Do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Because there's a fulfillment coming to when Jesus is coming back and there'll be no more time to receive Him. Today is the day. Let's agree. Father, I just thank You right now. If there's anybody here in this church that needs the gift of salvation that's been freely given, today is the day. If you haven't received Him, if you want to lift up your hand, let us know. We are here to agree with you. And if everybody here is born again, we take this invitation out to the world. Jesus is the light of the world. So, Father, I just thank You right now. Those that are out here, receive this message. If you have not received Christ Jesus, let the light of His glorious gospel shine in your heart right now. Receive Him. How do you get born again? Just believe that He is who He said He is. He is the Son of God. He came and He lived a sinless life and He died on the cross so that you could have eternal life with Him forever with His Father, Jehovah. And we just thank You for that right now. If you said that prayer, you just got born again. And we are, the angels in heaven are rejoicing, and we here at Word of Faith Worship Center, we are rejoicing. And we are a church here that's set apart to glorify God, to teach the Word of God, and we are, our doors are open to you. Come visit us on the website, but always keep Jesus first in your life, in Jesus' name.